All right, our text for this morning is our gospel text for the message here this morning. I want you to bow your heads in prayer with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, may the words from my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. In social situations, what is one of the hardest things to deal with? This is free for you to answer.
Meeting someone new.
Okay, so it could be meeting somebody new.
Or rejection.
All right, that's where I was going for. Actually, believe it or not, like in all the plethora of things things that can cause anxiety within social situations, in groups, in friendships, one of the leading sources of anxiety or things to cope with is rejection. It's one of the worst things that people could experience, right? How many of you have ever been rejected? How many of you have been rejected twice, right? And that can be on a friend level, on a social level, or even on a romantic level. Believe it or not, rejection has to call for a lot of methods post-rejection, how to cope, right? How to cope with the rejection you just experienced. And this is actually something, one of the biggest questions they ask you, or they ask me in particular, but I believe they ask everybody in my graduating class in seminary, as they're vetting me to become a pastor, is they ask the question, how do you deal with rejection? So you're going to become a pastor, you're going to expect a degree of rejection, both maybe within your parish or maybe in your community. So how you thrive as a pastor even can be how you deal with or how you cope with rejection, okay? It's such a prevalent issue or a concern, and just on a basic human level, that even in developing our church workers, it's something that we have to consider, something we have to be concerned about. But even beyond that, when you're dealing with children, raising children or you're a teacher, one of the things you have to look out for is a lot of the social dynamic that's taking place in the classroom and how that affects the children and how they're learning and how they're thriving in that class setting or beyond, right? And the reality is that there can be a certain trap with the acceptance and rejection paradigm. And that is, especially if you have experienced rejection quite a bit, it can create a sense of trauma, perhaps even. But the idea is that we are going to always want to be accepted. Okay, that's just a basic human. How many of you want to be accepted? How many of you don't want to be rejected? Right? I mean, we can all keep raising our hands. I'm pretty sure that would be 100% raised hands most of the time in most contexts asking that question. But this can be such a need if it's left untamed, this need to be accepted, that in a lot of ways it can consume all our time, right? It can consume all our energy and it can consume all of our effort. In a lot of ways, it can become a type of idol, right? So every situation you find yourself in, a social situation, if what you're most concerned about is acceptance, that's what's going to be your biggest driving force in all of your connections, right? That's going to be your biggest driving force in all of your interactions within that situation. That's what you're going to look for in a situation or a social context, okay? That is your goal. That is your motivation. That is the force, the thrust behind what you are doing, okay? Now, just to take a step back, just thinking through what it means to follow Jesus and our gospel reading here this morning, there's a certain nature of being a follower of Christ. And it just follows this paradigm exactly. You'll either be accepted or you will be rejected on behalf of following Jesus. Simple, right? You'll either be accepted or rejected. And it's often the latter. It's often the latter. How comforting does that sound? Think about Jesus in a lot of ways before he sends out his apostles or his disciples. He's constantly letting them know. He's constantly warning them, hey, by the way, you want to know what it means to follow me? What it's going to look like? You're going to be dealing with a lot of rejection. It doesn't sound comforting. Your life, imagine if Jesus didn't say it first, then I came up here and I was like, by the way, I just want to let you know that your life, it's going to be full of rejection. I'd be kicked off the stage as not it being the biggest motivational speaker ever, right? It's not comforting. It's not encouraging one bit. If you leave it at the alone in terms of just simply looking at his acceptance and rejection, as long as there's nothing deeper behind who you are and your identity in the first place. So with this reality, I mean, think about it. We're all human. All Christians, all followers of Jesus are human, right? It can easily take a toll if you're out there following Jesus, you're out there being his disciple, you're being sent out in the world, in your context, in your homes, and you're constantly being rejected. That doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good, even if it's for your faith. It doesn't. It's hurtful. And it can be a struggle, and it may be easy to actually fall back into the trap of wanting. You're going to try to find that acceptance somewhere, right? Even if it's on behalf of your faith, it's going to be easy to fall back into the trap of wanting to be accepted, for that to consume your time, to that be your driving force and your motivation. Now, there's actually another aspect to this, believe it or not, in terms of following Jesus. Maybe we fall into the trap of wanting to seek acceptance at all costs. Okay, just think through this. Hi, I accept you. You might fall into the easy trap of acceptance at all costs, right? However, there could be another thing that happens regarding our faith. We might actually take a lot of pride in being rejected, okay? We might actually look for it because Jesus lets us know that, you're going to be rejected on account of your faith, that you're going to take a lot of pride on being rejected because then it can confirm in you or affirm in you that you're doing everything right by Jesus's book, right? So in fact, we seek it out maybe. I've met people that intentionally look to be rejected, right? Because that's affirmation that they're following Jesus the right way. They look to be rejected, and that gives them a sense like, look what I can overcome. All this rejection that I experience, right? So this trap can kind of fall on different fronts in regards to following Jesus and being his disciple. Either we do fall in the complete trap of just only and being motivated by a desire for acceptance, or it can be a feeding of our pride to look for rejection, to experience that, and to even perhaps want it, okay? These are just the basic, maybe, internal mechanisms that we face with or we deal with in coping with this reality of being human, and then more so being a follower of Jesus. But first, I want you to consider this for all of us here. And Jesus says this in his gospel here in thinking through this acceptance rejection paradigm. If you were rejected, let me ask you this. How many of you have been rejected on account of your faith? Okay, or at least rejected the message that you bore of Jesus, right? It's a common occurrence. If you were rejected on account of your faith, this is a reality check for us to be able to understand, to be able to go through this as a follower of Jesus. If you were rejected on account of your faith, he or she who rejected you has first rejected Christ before they even rejected you in that moment. If he or she rejects you, he first rejected Christ. For this reason, Christ makes it clear, we share in his suffering. And we are bound even closer to him in that experience. So if we ever experience rejection on account of our faith, we can take heart that it was he who was first rejected, especially on that cross. And that in that process, in that suffering, in that rejection, we are brought even closer to Jesus. We are brought even closer to him, binding us to his suffering. And even deeper than that, and this is even more, what we get to be as followers of Jesus is this fact. We don't need to worry about the whole acceptance-rejection thing. We don't have to worry about rejection on account of our faith because Christ has already accepted us. He's made that clear to us on the cross. He made that clear to you and me in our baptisms when he made it very clear, when he called you personally into his family. He has already accepted us. The creator of this world, the redeemer of this universe, has already accepted us, where we are his. So yeah, we're human, right? We're human. But we have this, and I believe we talked about it a bit in the last time, we have this new identity, something that we always need to be reminded of, this new identity that helps us face this world, including how we deal with any acceptance or any rejection, and in particular, any acceptance or rejection on behalf of our faith. And this is exactly how and why the disciples were able to do and the apostles were able to do what they did. I mean, just look at this gospel text, what Jesus had sent these apostles out to do. Hey, by the way, I'm sending you out. You're pretty much going to have nothing. You're going to be rejected. I'm sending you out like amidst the wolves, right? I mean, we were like, oh, you can send us out, but make sure we have the apartment down the way, make sure we got the everything good, But he sends them out almost with nothing except his spirit at work in and through them. This is how and why the apostles could do what they did. Because of the power of Jesus, the reality that if they, and he makes it clear, if anybody rejects them, they have first rejected Jesus. And he was constantly working on them to realize that they were already accepted. Who they were, first and foremost, was in Jesus. Their identity was grounded in them, allowing them to face anything that they were going to face out in any context. They were going to face it, including this acceptance and rejection. And you know what? It's not so different for us today. That's exactly how you and I are able to face it. That's how you and I are able to match or to meet any concern of rejection for our faith each and every single day. That's even in the home. That's in wherever we live. That could be in our jobs. And maybe in all of those situations is going to be where there's the biggest fears of acceptance or rejection. Sometimes it's like, oh, I'll go overseas, right? I can go overseas and share my faith. I can go on a mission trip because at least I can drop in, and then if I'm rejected, guess what? I can leave, right? But how do you deal with it if it's kind of something you, every part of your life and every day of your life, in the situations and the relationships that you have? Sometimes following Jesus, sometimes being sent out, as often shared in the Gospels, is a mystery. Okay, so we're called to be followers of Jesus. We're called to be sent out. We're sent out to be his witnesses. Where do you begin? Yeah, there might be this fear of rejection, and yeah, there might be this want of acceptance, but really, where do we begin? How do we even know where to begin to even have the chance to be accepted or rejected? Maybe the time is we don't even have the opportunity to be accepted or rejected on behalf of our faith because we never bring it up, right? People might not even know we're Christian most of the time in a lot of situations. So we don't actually have to deal with it all that much. But where do we begin to be sent out? How do we begin to be his witnesses out in the community, out in wherever we are, no matter our age, no matter our situation or context in life? And like I said, sometimes it's a bit of a mystery. There's books written on this. There's 500-page books written on this. And it's not too hard, actually. I mean, it's hard, but it's not that hard in regards to Jesus is how to be able to do this. So what it's really about, when Jesus is getting out in his gospel, what Jesus is getting out all throughout the gospel, his teachings with his disciples, and what he's getting out for us too, is when we are sent out, when we are living life as his disciples, as we are going our way, following him and being his witnesses, we are to seek what Jesus is already doing. In short, I'll put it this way. We are to seek out the divine opportunities that he has placed before us where we can share the gospel in those situations. Okay? Still sounds complicated. Still sounds complicated. What are these divine opportunities Is this a super mystical thing where we have to just look for like the skies to part, right? And the dove to descend, for Josh to start speaking in tongues. You know, is that what we're supposed to be looking at? But so what are we seeking? Where do we know where Jesus is already doing work? Where do we see that there's these divine opportunities for us to be able to share the gospel of Jesus, you know, to share that in those situations or those relationships? As you think about that, I want you to remember this one thing. He says this in the gospel for today too. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. This is one important point. It's his harvest. It's his harvest, not yours, not mine. Okay? Takes a little bit of the pressure off. It's his harvest that he's working. And he's just asking us to participate in the process of taking care of the field, taking care of the harvest. And we can be confident of this, that Jesus is already doing work. We can be confident of that. There's no mystery like, if I don't do this, or if I do this, if I drop the ball here, if I get it right over here, well, Jesus is either not working or he is working. And it's all contingent on my success or my failure, right? We can be confident that that's not the case. Jesus is already and is always doing work, okay? Martin Luther puts it this way in his catechism, we pray for God's kingdom to come. His kingdom's going to come regardless of us. It's going to come regardless of us, but we pray thy kingdom come, that the kingdom may come to us also. And I'll even add to that, where we also get to participate with him in the extension of his kingdom throughout the world. His kingdom's coming with or without us, in our success, in our failure, in our missed opportunities to share Jesus the gospel, in our situations where maybe our biggest goal is acceptance as opposed to sharing Jesus in our lives. No matter what happens, Jesus is already doing work and he's already bringing his kingdom. It's his harvest. He's already doing the work. It takes a lot of the pressure, and we just get to joyfully join him and participate with him in his work. So what do we look for? What are these divine opportunities? Where is this work that he's already doing? It's right here in the Luke passage. Sends out the apostles, right? And what can anybody bring to mind what he says to them besides don't take any money bags, which is scary? What does he say? When you go into a community, when you enter a home, right, what does he say? Accept what they offer you, right? If this home essentially welcomes you, if this home receives you, if this home accepts you, now this is assuming they're not Christian, okay? They're not followers of Jesus at this point, but they, knowing who you are, knowing the message that you bear, okay, accept you, welcome you. There's a person of peace is often the phrase, but essentially it's a home of peace, right? There's peace in the sense that they welcome and they accept and they welcome you. He says what? Yeah, so you announce the peace that you know the message that you're bearing. He says, eat with them. Stay there a while. And he even says, don't go from house to house. Meaning like, say you go into a new community and it's like, all right, there's 3,000 people here. I gotta get them all, right? Simple. Don't go from house to house. If you find a home that welcomes you, that accepts you, accepts the message that you bear, the identity that you bear in Jesus, stick around with them. Eat with them. Because you're going to, in that context, in that relationship, you're going to be able to share Jesus all the more with them, giving Christ the greatest opportunity to continue his work through his Spirit. So where to start? It's not that complicated. If you go your way, you find a situation or people that accept you and receive you, in particular, who you are in Jesus and the message that you bear, Christ is already working. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit is already working, and you can rejoice in that. And that is a divine opportunity for you to stick around, to participate in what Jesus is already doing and what Jesus can do through you in that situation, right? Now, if you're in a certain situation where, or a home that rejects you, what does that mean? What does Jesus say? Yeah, it sounds callous. Just move on. Just move on. Because that isn't where Jesus is leading you right then and there. That doesn't mean Jesus has forgotten them, right? It just means that the divine opportunity isn't there yet, right? So move on. And in that situation, he says, wipe the dust off your sandals, let it be a warning, right? Make it clear to them the urgency of the message that you bear. Giving them the best opportunity beyond that to receive the next person, perhaps, right? Because you've spoken to them a reality check of Jesus and the work and the coming of the age or the end when he will come again. So either places are going to reject you or places are going to accept you, right? And that's where you can simply begin. Now, I just want you to take a moment to close your eyes. Don't fall asleep. Close your eyes. And now, again, this could be a mystery. Like, what are we going over to, like, to Venice? Are we going up over to Mar Vista? What does this mean, like, go and seek out these homes? Simply just put it this way. Think of all the people right now as you close your eyes, all the people that you have interactions with every day. It could be small interactions, okay? And this doesn't matter, again, your age or your situation in life right now. Just anybody in any situation, any day where you have an interaction with someone. Think about then not just each day, but each week. Paint that picture right now in your mind. Imagine if somebody was like kind of following your life through the lens of your eyes, all the people that they would encounter. All the people that you would connect with or you would interact with, right? I want you to think through that in terms of who do you know accepts you, and in particular, accepts your identity in Jesus, even if they are not followers of Jesus. They know that about you, and they accept you. Think about the ones that maybe even accept listening to you, right? Listening to what you have to say, even if they don't believe what you're saying. I want you to take heart that those people, you can take heart that God is working. Maybe you've had that relationship or you've interacted with them over the course of a year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. Maybe it's been your whole life. And you haven't seen the fruit of that labor. But I want you to be encouraged that God is certainly at work and is working in their life. We won't even get into the people that reject you. But I want you to know that in regards to any rejection that you might face, that any rejection you might experience, I'm going to say it one more time. If you were or you are rejected on account of your faith, he or she who rejected you has first rejected Christ. And for this reason, we share in Christ's suffering, binding us even closer to him. That's an encouragement we get to live with each and every day as we face these encounters in our lives. So to conclude, I want to just simply say, in a lot of ways, you can say Jesus and kind of giving this methodology to his apostles that he's also giving to us, that Jesus is saying, look for acceptance. you can sum it up in that way, but it's with a twist. It's not as we typically think of it. Look for approval, but not for validation. You already have that approval in Jesus. Look for approval of you, your faith. Look for approval of the message of the gospel, a reception of the message of the gospel as a validation of a divine opportunity that Jesus is up to something and that you should stick around for it. Amen.